I guess we can just talk about politics and stuff. Here we go.
Revolution Radio,
Oops, wait a
freedomslips.com. You don't need to.
minute. It's supposed to play our theme music, not yesterday's show. Let me get that, folks. Sorry. Okay. I don't know what happened there. It's taking a long time to play the air. Well, that's kind of like the way the white people used to be. We used to be warriors, the, what do you call them, the Vikings. The Vikings used to be warriors. They used to be called berserkers. And just about all of the descendants of the Vikings today have become socialists and communists and wimps. What do you have to say about that? Well, let me just say welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Voice Christian Israel. On your folk radio, today is January 7, 2018, and I'm hearing we need to boost our sound. The music was quite loud, so I had to reduce that. But maybe you can answer that question, Pastor Martin. By the way, glad you're back, because I understand you had difficulty last week with the sound system in South Africa, internet service, etc. So welcome back.
Good evening, Pastor, and thank you very much. Greatly appreciated. Yes, it's been a beautiful day, starting off this morning with overnight rain and some very soft rain virtually through the whole of the morning, but more sunny skies this afternoon and excellent weather currently in Cape Town. Of course, South Africa having their winter at the moment. Yes, Pastor, thank you very much. It's great to be back on the show, and I battled for hours during the course of last week, Sunday, purely because of network problems. And then at the end, I discovered that all my data on all my contracts had expired. And what a frustration, because I even attempted to do some topping up of my data, and which I could not even access. So networks were down, and one of the things that I often say is that when our networks here in the Cape Peninsula have come to a virtual standstill, that is when the services are at their peak in Khayelitsha, which is a very large black squatter camp on the Cape Flats. Uh-huh. Which is about 30 kilometers from here, because it seems like all major services in this country is now provided to the black townships, and the traditional white areas have become secondary users, primary payers, but secondary users of the services that the parastatals and government and, of course, all black economic empowerment companies provide. Premium payers get the secondary services, and that is a factor that is becoming so evident in and across South Africa.
So, in other words, those who pay for the service get better, lesser service?
Absolutely, Pastor.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah. There's, as a contributor to the South African economy over the past 50 years, I'm turning 65 in a few months' time. Okay. But as a contributor to the South African economy for close on 60 years, and having protected the country by being a virtually unpaid soldier, because the equivalent in those days when I did my military service, the equivalent of my month's salary cannot even buy a loaf of bread today. Mm. So it gives you an idea as to the way in which this country has turned out to be, purely because of And it's not so much because of the blacks. One must remember that the blacks were placed in power by the Freemason Afrikaners. And even to this day, these Freemason Afrikaners still pull the strings from far behind the scene, making sure that the Freemasons' purposes and agenda is served to the last detail. And even this song that the Jacob Zuma, the president of South Africa, sings, "Kill the Farmer, Kill the Boer," has its origins. I am very confident on that statement that I make, has its origins from this Afrikaner Freemason and Afrikaner Broederbond, brotherhood
Brotherhood, yes.
from within the Afrikaners. But pleasant evening to you, Pastor, and it's nice to be back on the program. It's nice to, and in fact, I thoroughly enjoy participating in your program. Thank you.
Very good, very good. Well, on the previous show by Yahweh's Design, James got, he was basically trashing typical white people for, being lazy, weak, stupid, unconcerned with the plight of other whites, who are being manipulated, destroyed, raped, etc. And I sensed a level of frustration of aware white people escalating. And again, and I totally sympathize with what James was saying. I'd like to express the other point of view before we get into the discussion of the Vikings and what happened to them. Our people have been brainwashed systematically. I'd say for us here in America, it started primarily in the 1950s when the Jew Dwight D. Eisenhower and the Jewish Supreme Court Chief Justice Earl Warren took up arms against the segregated South, actually invaded the southern states where segregation was still the law. And even though segregation was actually still being practiced in all the states of the Union, it's just that they're official in the southern states. And nobody complained when Eisenhower brought in the military to force racially integrate the schools forcibly at the point of a gun. Okay? Is there any comparable event in South African history?
Pastor, South African history is somewhat unique in from different points of view, where the blacks have outnumbered the whites ever since the whites came to this country. Now, the Cape Dutch, and it is on record that the Cape Dutch actually utilized these blacks, these marauding blacks, and Hottentots against the free burghers that came to this country and later became known as the Boers. The Cape Dutch actually disarmed the free burghers, making it impossible for the free burghers to protect themselves against these marauding and even killing Hottentots, and also later against the East frontier or the East borders, so-called the Transkei today. It is known as the Transkei, and it's also that area of South Africa where Nelson Mandela originated or emanated from. I use the word emanated because that is the word normally used in terms of where vermin emanate from.
Okay. Our Mandela was a member of the Xhosa tribe, right? That's Xhosa. Am I pronouncing it and spelling it correctly?
You, Pastor, you're spelling it correctly, but you're pronouncing it incorrectly.
Okay.
And I want you to hear it closely because it's quite interesting. It's actually pronounced, and I hope you can hear it,
The click.
Khoza.
Click.
Khoza. There's a K sound
Okay.
of the tongue to it. It's
Okay.
and when they speak, when the Khoza speak, they have a very often
A click.
sound to the and it's also
A tongue clicking
true of
noise.
the bush the Bushman tribes also, and I say tribes, the Bushman tribes, they actually consisted of various tribes, and people often refer to the Bushmen as if they are one unity and one particular version of the humanoid species. But there were various Bushman tribes, and some people refer to the Khoisan or the Khoisan.
Okay.
Now, the Khoisan actually imply two different tribes within the Bushman group, the Khoi and the San. And now, the Khoi also have this sound whenever they speak. Just about every word that they speak, they pronounce with that sound.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I wonder how their songs sound.
Very interesting.
Right? Yeah, everybody clicking at the same time. So it's like we do our finger snapping, right? So
that's correct.
But now, Mandela, growing up as a Xhosa tribesman, not as a Zulu, right? He was not a Zulu.
No, not as a Zulu.
Okay.
No, not as a Zulu.
How were the Xhosa tribes being treated by the South African whites? I mean, were they being mistreated in any way, shape, or form by the South African whites?
Pastor, the blacks in South Africa have particular traditions. And one of their traditions is to be very bloodthirsty when they actually go out on war. They don't spare any form of life,
really?
and it is also very clearly demonstrated today. In whenever they have industrial strife, they don't spare anything. They burn, they plunder, they kill, they maim. Even the animals become mutilated in their show of disparity with whatever their grievances are. Now, this was already evident prior to the Anglo-Boer War, because when the British actually sent out an agent or a commissioner in South Africa or in the Cape Colony, and this commissioner actually made some very interesting notes about his observing the Boers and observing the Cape Dutch, and even referring to the British in terms of the dealings and the handlings, the way in which they deal and handle their black laborers or even their black slaves at the time when the slavery was still in effect. And one of the comments that this commissioner had written back to the British government was the fact that it seemed as if the Boers have a very good way of treating their laborers, because there was no sign or evidence of any industrial strife. And when there was, it seemed as if the Boers had a very good way of dealing with it, other than, for example, what the Cape Dutch and the British were doing was by ill treatment of those that were in discontent with their conditions. Right. Another thing that this particular, I've forgotten his name, but I'm busy with quite a number of things at the moment. But I think I read this in a book called Tragedy and Hope, a book called Tragedy and Hope. And in this book, this particular a commissioner from Britain also wrote, and he said that the occurrence of colored people amongst the Boers was non-evident. In other words, there were no colored people or people of color, which indicated that there was no interbreeding of the Boers with the black people.
And that's biblical.
However,
because the Bible tells us we're supposed to remain separate from them. Yes.
Exactly. Now, what he did take note, he said it was evident that amongst the Cape Dutch, this was an aspect that was absolutely rife. It was it was clear that the Population growth are the coloureds in the Cape, and I'm talking now from before the Anglo-Boer War and during the Anglo-Boer War, that the population growth of coloureds amongst the Afrikaners or the Cape Dutch at the time was evident that there was a lot of race breeding or interracial breeding amongst the Cape Dutch.
Okay, so the picture is this. The Boer people were practicing biblical segregation, but they're not practicing any kind of torture or murder or any, you know, any evil towards the blacks in any way, except to defend themselves from marauding blacks, correct?
Pastor, that is absolutely true. In fact, what I also did discover is way before, I think I have mentioned to you and I have already stated on this program before, that there was a conspiracy that was made or that was drafted by the Cape Dutch, the Freemasons, and the Khazar Jews or the Edomite Jews that the Cape Dutch had brought with them. Of course, them themselves being Edomite Jews as well, the Cape Dutch, many of them had taken on or had their names and surnames changed to fit into the Afrikaner ideology of the Cape Colony and later on South Africa. But the fact is that in terms of misgiving and sending these messages abroad, the Cape Dutch, because of the conspiracy that they conspired against the Boers, they were sending messages of ill treatment and even that the Boers were killing off the blacks that surrounded the Boer republics, which was, of course, and it was also later established that these, because the British government sent commissioners to investigate this, and it was found to be totally unfounded. In other words, they were making false propaganda. The Cape Dutch, in line with what we see today with the false flags and also the fake news. Now, this had been an item or a way of action that the Edomites and the Cape Colony had done even way before the discovery of gold and diamonds in the Boer republics. So it was a matter that the Cape Dutch wanted to eradicate the Boers. They wanted to wipe the Boers because they knew that they were the descendants of the House of Jacob. They knew that they were the Edomites. They have been acknowledging that all along, up to a certain point where they realized, but they can't say that anymore. They need to replace themselves, or they need to replace the Boers. And that was what the conspiracy was all about. In a matter of 5 to 8 generations, they wanted to eradicate the Boers off the face of the planet, and having the Boer traditions and the Boers' image replaced by that which they now assimilated. And that we can see, that has become so evident. Even with Jan Smuts, just in this past week, I made discoveries about Jan Smuts, now the so-called Boer general. He was never a Boer. He was, but that's a different discussion altogether.
Well, didn't you say he was part Jewish? Did he have Jewish blood?
What I could discover was that
dealt with Jews.
That because
Jewish business partners. Go ahead.
I could not find, I've quite a few years ago, about 4 years ago, I read that he had Edomite roots. And I've been in search of that to actually write a full article on one of my Boer blogs. I've got a blog that I started about 6 or 8 months ago. And on this blog, I have started to do some information postings on Jan Smuts.
Okay.
And in the process of finding or searching for information on him, I discovered quite a number of things which I never knew and I don't think many people do know. But Jan Smuts was never a Boer. His roots was from the Cape. He was born on a farm not very far from Cape Town, a place called Ribe Kasteel. From very young, his young boyhood, he was already into secret societies. He went and studied in Britain at King's College, I think it was. He was an ardent follower of Charles Darwin's theories on
Oh,
evolution. He wrote a
so
book on
anti-biblical
holistic.
then. So he was an enemy of the poor
Absolutely.
people in many ways.
Absolutely. But
Okay.
all these things point to the fact that he was never a Boer, because even, well, Pastor, what I found traces of was that he was part and parcel of this conspiracy against the Boers, against the demise of the Boers, against the destruction of the Boer people,
Yes.
against the destruction of Boer republics. And that
Yeah.
is why he also
By pretending
offered
to be
his
one
services
of the
as.
Boer, he killed the Boer. Right?
Yes.
That's how the
Now,
Jews operate. Yeah.
something else was that Paul Kruger had a Jewish friend called
Okay.
Sammy Marks. Now, Sammy Marks was a Jewish industrialist, one of the so-called Uitlanders or foreigners that came and. Are you there, Pastor?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I heard a click and I thought that perhaps there had been
I
a
was
hiccup in
practicing my
the
DeSosa.
network. And he then offered his services. And of course, Sammy Marks, being a Jew and a Freemason, Sammy Marks then recommended Jan Smuts as so-called Procureur-Generaal, similar to the position of Minister of Justice. And Jan Smuts, now, if you consider, and I made the statement earlier on saying that he was part and parcel of the conspiracy against the Boers, for the destruction of the Boers and for the demise of the Boer people as a nation. Now, the reason why I say that was that after the conspiracy had already been drafted and after they had conspired with Cecil John Rhodes, and Jan Smuts was recommended by Sammy Marks
Oh boy.
to Paul Kruger. And Paul Kruger, having a, I don't know why Paul Kruger, and I actually made a statement this morning on Facebook saying that I cannot believe that Paul Kruger was deemed to be such a wise Boer president, the president of the Boer Republic of Transvaal, that he could have been so short-sighted in his spiritual awareness that he could not see that Jan Smuts, first of all, was a Freemason, that he was
A Jew?
the fact that he had absolutely,
Yeah.
and that he still appointed Jan Smuts into that particular position, where
Wow.
Jan Smuts was the one that drafted the
Okay.
declaration of war against Britain.
Yeah.
Can you
Yeah.
see the conspiracy?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like George Washington had Alexander Hamilton, who proceeded to
Yes.
invite the Jew banksters in for the First National Bank. Right?
Well, you can see that they had been practicing over a number of years to actually conceal their conspiracy,
Yeah.
etc. And Pastor, I've never heard anybody speak on this conspiracy ever in South Africa. I didn't know of conspiracy, but you know the event of 25 June 2014 that I've spoken with you about.
Right.
And then my senses were sharpened, were in fact
Yeah. Like Paul on the
opened.
road, he began to see
Absolutely, Pastor.
the light. Yes.
Absolutely. And
Yes.
going into foreign archives and libraries, I go and search for certain things, and Pastor, you cannot believe the evidence that I find as to how the Cape Dutch even conspired with Lord Rothschild
Oh, yeah, I believe
in
it.
order to undermine, in fact, to well, Lord Rothschild, what he did was he merely turned the taps on the finances of the British government,
Right.
forcing the British government to come and invade the Boer republics.
Okay.
Now, it was one of the conditions that the British had set was not to fire one shot, and they actually marched into the Boer republics without firing a shot. They didn't come to annex the Boer republics, but because of the war, it was annexed, exactly what the Cape Dutch wanted, because they knew that they would share in the spoils of war, and that which they did. Right. And of course, when the peace treaty was signed, who was what the instigator towards the sign of the peace treaty? Jan Smuts.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Kind of serving the same role that Alexander Hamilton did here in America. And in George Washington's case, Alexander Hamilton was a very valiant warrior, had won several battles against the British, and this is why Washington thought so highly of him. But it's quite possible that somewhere, I know that Hamilton married into a banking family, possibly a Jewish banking family, and his background is somewhat clouded. I believe his mother was not Jewish, but my understanding, he was adopted. She remarried and therefore adopted by a Jewish man, okay? Mm-hmm. And so that's possibly how Hamilton got into the influences of the banksters. Okay. Now, getting
and
back
also into politics.
Into politics, yes, absolutely. Now, we with the Cape Dutch, and there's a Rothschild connection here, although the Cape Dutch existed before the Rothschilds, it was the Dutch East India Company, which was run by Hollander Jews, Dutch Jewish banksters, who were the same Dutch Jewish banksters that financed Cromwell in the invasion of Britain to take over Britain and establish the Bank of England, which has been run by Jews ever since. Okay? So you have to see the Cape Dutch colony as an offshoot of Jewish bankster practices, Jewish colonialism. With bankers and merchants doing their dirty work for them. And then the Cape Dutch were ultimately supplanted by the British East India's company, also run by Jews. And you can see that these two companies, these two corporations, were always at odds with the Boer people, because the Boer people simply wanted to be left alone so they could be farmers. It's just like the American farmers wanted to be left alone by bankers, but the bankers and the Jews will simply not leave us alone.
Pastor, also because of the roots of the Boers and also because of the roots of the Confederates, remember that the Confederate means a vow. And exactly in the same way as the Boers have the vow, the Confederates have also vowed. Are you there?
Yes. Yeah, keep going.
And the similar conditions where the Boers have, they have established various vows with Father Yahweh, in terms of their survival, and Father Yahweh answered with miracles in terms of the salvation or the saving of the Boer people from harm. And this occurred on many occasions. Now, one of the things that must also be said is the Jews being Khazarian and Ashkenazi Edomites, they are trying, or they have vowed themselves to regain their first inheritance, their firstborn inheritance. Now, remember that is such an important aspect about the history of this world. They are trying to repossess their firstborn inheritance, which they believe Jacob stole from them. And that is why they have this hatred of Jacob. That is why Esau had this hatred of Jacob, his brother. He was jealous of him because Jacob had received the blessing of the firstborn from his father. Jacob had received the blessing of Father Yahweh as the carrier of the blessing from the promises of Abraham, or that the promises that Father Yahweh had made with Abraham, and that he had reconfirmed with Isaac, and that he now reconfirmed with Jacob. So Esau was as jealous as mud.
Right, and he was the odd man out. He was the odd man out because he married outside of his race. He had already sold his inheritance, his birthright to his brother Jacob. It was the red pottage episode where he David James had mentioned it, I forget today or maybe last Sunday, where his name is Red because of the red pottage, and because he had he had come back
red skin.
From red hair, red hair all over his body. But he had just come back from a raid in which he had killed Nimrod. And Nimrod's soldiers were chasing him around the countryside, and he was running for his life. Okay? So, and then he happened upon Jacob, and he was famished. And that's why he said, sell me this red pottage. I am famished. The Bible covers that, but it doesn't cover the episode with Nimrod. That's in the book of Jasher. Okay?
Yes,
so,
but...
Yeah, go ahead.
Why would Father Yahweh hate Esau? Why would Father Yahweh call the descendants of the house of Edom seed of the viper?
Right. Yeah.
Now, I have reason to believe, I can't find it in Scripture. I've never read it in Scripture, but I believe that there is some reference to it in the book of one of the, the book of
Enoch? Maybe Enoch.
Enoch?
Yeah,
which states that Isaac's wife Rebecca was inseminated by Satan.
Yeah, that's not in the scriptures.
Esau was the son.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah, we've discussed this on other shows, and you know, it's a good question. But it's kind of like the story of Lilith.
It's not in scripture.
Yeah, it's not in the scriptures, and it's not mentioned in Jasher or Enoch or that Rebecca was maybe had a dual insemination like Eve did. Okay, that's evident from two seed line theology that Eve was first impregnated by Nahash, by Gadriel, as the book of Enoch gives us his name. Gadriel seduced Eve. It states it very plainly there.
Yeah,
and she bore Cain, and then only later. Or they had a dual pregnancy where Adam and she bore twins, and Cain came out first because he was the older. Okay, nothing like that to indicate that Rebecca underwent such an experience. I think in Esau's case, he was just bad seed, right? Even though he was white, he was still bad seed. Because that's what we were talking about earlier. You know, there are a lot of bad white people too.
Yes, but Pastor, why would Father Yahweh then refer to Esau and his descendants? Because the Pharisees, it was very evident that the Pharisees had emanated from what is today known as Crimea, the Crimea Peninsula, which was the Republic of Khazaria, that they came from Khazaria to assimilate the... tribe of Judah, and they came as so-called leaders and teachers of the scriptures and the scribes and the Pharisees, and also the leaders, so-called the social leaders at the time, and they were very predominant in the synagogues. Now, the synagogues was like today's halls, city halls or town halls or places.
Yeah, right. It was a meeting place. Yeah, it was also
a meeting place.
Right.
But it was not a spiritual place of spiritual like churches, because the churches very often say that they have evidence that the synagogues were places of worship, which is not true. Synagogues were merely places where people would get together because
assembly.
Well, that is also what.
Right. They could use it for a scriptural discussion too, as they often did, you know, because.
They did, but it was.
Yeah, right. Right. Well, now.
It was not.
Let's pick this apart here, because Esau, he was born of Isaac and Rebecca, and he was Isaac's favorite, not because he was good or righteous, but because he cooked good venison stew.
Venison. That's right.
He was good at cooking venison stew. Now, he married two Hittite women. Now, these Hittite women came from the area known today as Turkey, and a lot of Hittites moved up into Khazaria, you know, much later in history and merged themselves into the Ashkenazi Jewish population, okay? But that was much later in history. The Hittites were contemporaneous with Esau, okay?
Correct.
And I think Yahweh's anger with Esau is simply that. Number one, he sold his birthright. Number two, tried to kill his brother Jacob. And number three, intermarried with these Hittite snake people.
Women.
Okay?
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
So I just wanted people to understand, you know, that's why Yahweh would be displeased with the Edomites, who are known today as Jews. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah, now, I'd like to address I'd like to address the Lilith question. I don't see the name of Lilith mentioned anywhere in Scripture even the Apocrypha of the Israelite literature. It is, however, mentioned in the Talmud and in Jewish literature, which is not the same as Israelite literature. Now, maybe the Jews know that they have an ancestor called Lilith. Maybe they know that.
Yes.
It's certainly not our, she is certainly not our ancestor. Back to you.
In fact, there's no commonality between our ancestral roots and the
Jews,
the Talmudic Jews' ancestry. And of course, they absolutely despise that which is the biblical roots of Jacob and all the way back to Abraham.
Right. That hatred,
It's an absolute hatred. And this thing that people say that, for example, when we talk about Father Yahweh, they say that that is Jewish. Yahweh is not Jewish. Yahweh is Hebrew. And Hebrew was adopted by the Jews. It was not part of their existence.
Right. They were Canaanites. So Canaanite was a form of Hebrew. You know, so they have a version of Hebrew that they use. Yeah. Back to you.
The Judahites were Hebrew.
That's right. But not the Jews. The Jews are...
But not the Jews.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and I just thought we'd mention that because many people associate Judaism with Judaism, which,
right.
of course, which is two total different things. And,
sure.
And in fact, just exactly the same way, if one looks for a template in terms of the South African situation, exactly the same way in which the secret society,
what, Freemasons?
Well, deceptors, the people of deception,
okay.
Just as they have contrived by attempting to place a single blanket over the Boers and the Cape Dutch by giving them a new name, and that new name is Afrikaners. Exactly the same way these Edomites and these secret society connivers have attempted to make the Judahites, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and the Ashkenazi Jews into one, and they called them the Jews or the Israelis.
Right.
Now, the Israelis is not short for Israelites. The Israelis is a new
concoction. They invented that term. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because I think they knew they weren't Israelites. In fact, I have reported many times that just before the Israeli state, Israel, was formed, they had not decided on the name yet. You know, this is 1948. They were actually going to call it Judea, the old name by which they knew it in times past, Judea. But then one of the Jews got the bright idea, we better call it Israel because we need to fool people, and, you know, Judea is not good enough for fooling people. We should call it Israel. And that was a last-minute decision to call it Israel.
Yeah, that's
most people don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because in the Balfour Declaration, initially, nothing was said about Israeli or Israel.
That's right. It's just the Jews. It's just meant the Jews and Palestine. Right.
Yeah.
And even when I was trying to think of the guy's name, a Rothschild agent, he raised in America the newspaper headline that says, in 1933, Judea declares war on Germany.
Oh, yes, I recall that.
Yes. So even as late as 1933, the Jews were not calling themselves Israel. They were calling themselves Judea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
which
it was a master stroke of propaganda to change the name at the last minute.
Yeah. But it was also revealing, it is also revealing to us in this day as to how they connived to set up this false state of Israel.
Yes. Yeah, so we've got this extremely conniving, deceptive people who call themselves Jews, also call themselves Israel, but the two are completely different. So one of those two is a lie. When they call themselves Jews, they're being honest. And but they don't even want us to call them Jews. They don't like it when we call them Jews. They want us to call them Israel because they want to keep this deception alive.
Deception.
Yeah.
Yes.
That they are alive. And this has caused much dissension.
Confusion.
Dissension among whites and among Christians. Because our people take one side or the other. You know, no, they're not Israel. They are Jews, but they're not Israel. That's the bottom line. And this is where Christians go wrong and where white nationalists go wrong, too. They accept the Jewish lie, the Jewish claim that they are Israel. Back to you.
Yes. Pastor, yes, in line with this, what I would like to do is I would like to quote one particular scripture, and you're going to laugh when you hear it. Which is Revelation 3, verse 9.
Okay.
Behold,
go ahead.
I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews. And that is the way in which it's translated incorrectly.
Yes.
Because what it should say there, the word Jew, of course, never occurs on the original scripture.
That's right.
But it's mistranslated into Jews, which did not exist at the time. So what it says here, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Judahites and are not but lie. In fact, it clearly states here that they will be lying about their identity. And
exactly.
How don't they do that? And it then says, behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet.
And those words are spoken to Israel. Because the book of Revelation.
Spoken to Israel.
Yeah, the book of Revelation is addressed to Israel and not to the Jews.
Absolutely.
And it's telling us right there, there's a bunch of people who call themselves Jews. Let's just keep that language as it is. They say they're Jews, but are liars. Okay? Who are the people who say they're Jews and are liars? I mean, it even works as a bad translation. Okay.
Yes.
Even as a bad translation, it fingers the Jews, right? And that's why they had such hatred for who's the Australian filmmaker who did The Passion of the Christ? They had such hatred for him and his movie that to try to prevent it from being made, and they actually forced him to remove the line that says, "His death be upon us." I think that was Matthew 25. I forget what verse. So he actually, they forced him, it's still there in the Aramaic because the movie was done in Aramaic, but they forced him to remove the subtitle that quoted that passage of the Bible. And this is how the Jews influence Christianity, influence the world, by forcing their opinion, forcing their will upon people on pain of, economic pain. They might assassinate people, et cetera, et cetera. This is how they operate.
Yeah,
these are not God's chosen people. There's no way.
Pastor, but
Mel Gibson, thank
something
you.
That Mel Gibson, yes, something that also needs to be said at this point is that there's a very close cohesion between these secret societies and the Jews, of course, with all the intermingling of their agendas. And of course, how the Freemasonry also controls the churches, the Judeo-Christian churches. It is totally controlled by these Freemasons because, first of all, the Freemasons are in control of the translation of the Bible, irrespective of where it is. I know of very few, or in fact, if I do know of any translation of the Bible that is not controlled and dictated by the Freemasons, I'm not aware of one of them.
Well, Pastor Steve goes by the Scriptures, which are actually the Institute of Scriptural Research in South Africa. He highly recommends that version. So maybe, you might hook up with those people at some point. I don't know what town they're in. The Institute for Scriptural Research, I believe is the name. And they're based in South Africa.
Excellent. I will definitely do some research on that, Pastor. And I do believe that there's also in the town in which I live, which is a suburb of Cape Town, is that there is a very strong movement here, and I haven't met up with them. In fact, I only heard about them about a week and a half ago,
Okay.
of the light people that are assembly. Well, they have assembly here in Fishhook,
Okay.
and I'm quite excited because I would want to tie up with them.
Absolutely.
But the important thing to me, Pastor, is that one of the things that I had a very that dominated that visitation that I told you about was the fact that the Boers have been the key people to the Israelite invasion or the Israelite identification of people in South Africa, and the Boers being central to this. I have to, and the instructions that I was given was in fact to enlighten the Boer people to
Their true
as to
identity.
their heritage
Yeah, their Israelite
and their
identity.
true identity,
Yes.
etc. And
Yeah.
that is my task and my calling. And
Yes.
that is, of course, also why I participate in these shows, because to me it's extremely important that the
Absolutely.
Israelites must rediscover their roots, must rediscover their heritage, and to take into possession that which is theirs, because there is a confrontation which is looming, Pastor, and I
Oh.
call it Blood River 2.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
Blood
I
River
mean,
2 is going to,
yeah, well, Pastor
you
Dan's
know.
guest was ready for blood too. Right? I see this more and more white people are speaking up. And they're
Absolutely.
they're speaking out against the enemy and also speaking against the lame, limp-wristed, former Vikings, former pioneers. The pioneers that built this great country have all been turned into wimps. Now, how's that happening? How did that happen? And it's happening in South Africa too.
Churches.
Churches, yeah, the
Absolutely.
Judeo-churches
Churches.
have
Yes.
turned our people into wimps. That's
Absolutely,
what they've
Pastor.
done.
In fact,
Yeah.
I just, well, you cannot believe how often I stumble across people who they keep on saying, "What must we do? What must we do? What must we do?" And the biblical recipe for any change to take place in the positive direction, well, there's a solid and steady regression all the time while people are walking and living in sin. The only way, the only solution to get out of this regression and decadence is for the people, the true Israelites, to repent and to turn back to Father Yahweh.
Amen.
Now, I find that people are calling, we have a very severe drought in the Western Cape at the moment. We
Okay.
have very strict water rules and regulations, and water has become one of the most expensive commodities in the Western Cape and Cape Town environs, purely because of low rainfall figures for the past 2, 3 years. Now, the thing that I've stated is when I see people calling on, let's get down and pray, let's pray for rain, let's pray, people, let's get together and pray.
Yes.
I say, I don't, I refuse to pray for rain. What I'm praying for is a revival of the people's hearts and minds so that they can know to repent and turn
Yeah.
back to Father Yahweh.
And then let
There
it
is
rain.
no, there's no quick fix, Pastor, and this is so evident of these Judeo-Christian churches as well. Today they want to pray for, remember that the Judeo-Christian churches don't have a name for their God. So they
Right. They
say,
call it God,
so
yeah.
they say,
It's God. Yeah.
it's God or it's Lord.
Title,
So
right.
today they say, Lord, it's too hot, make it cooler. Tomorrow it's too cold, they pray.
Yeah,
So they want
right.
to have quick fixes for everything. Now,
Right.
then they turn around and they say, but there must be something wrong. Is God dead because he doesn't answer our prayers? But you know, it is so evident that there is so much wrong in their belief system. They have neglected the name of Father Yahweh because they have allowed their Freemason translators, no, interpreters, because the Freemasons don't translate the Bible. They interpret the original, and then they translate the interpretation. So it's not the translators of the Bible, it's the interpreters of the Bible that have their interpretations translated into a popular, in a way which is going to be most popular to their agenda. And these people don't recognize this, and they don't realize this. And I actually draft statements and postings on Facebook so often, and I say, people, it would serve no purpose. Today you pray for rain, tomorrow it rains and it's floods. Where's your answers to your prayer? You know, and it is as if Father Yahweh is trying to convince his people. Look, I can respond if I really must, but if you continue this like this, you pray for the rain to stop, I give you drought. You pray for rain, I give you floods.
Yes. Well, in Deuteronomy 28:28, it says, Yahweh shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. That's the chapters of Deuteronomy 28:28, where Yahweh applies the curses for our lack of righteousness. And then Paul picks up the theme in Romans 11:25, For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. And that's Judeo-Christians, because their own conceit overrules Yahweh's righteousness, that blindness in part is happened to Israel. He doesn't say to the Jews, he says to Israel, until the fullness of the nations be come in. Okay? Yes. So what's the fullness of the nations? Well, I mean, we Israelites have made as many nations as we possibly can, and we're not going to build any more. We're here to stay, and we're going to fight or die.
Absolutely.
Okay, we have to recover from our blindness.
Well, at last, Pastor, in something that I also found in these past few days is more and more of the people that were originally totally in opposition to what I stated 2 and 3 years ago. Yes. I find them quoting my postings diligently. In fact, the things that I had already forgotten that I had stated, I find. But why do these postings that these people make sound so familiar? Now go into my notepad and I find mine. This is what I said on the 23rd of October, 2016.
Yeah, they reminded you of it. Yes.
And the very people that opposed me on those statements are now quoting from that which I stated.
Yeah, they're seeing the light, as you did.
And they're seeing the light. And I'm not saying this boastfully, Pastor. I say this in absolute
It's a joyous
thankfulness.
Report. Thank you.
A joyous report and a thankfulness to Father Yahweh for actually blessing the words that I have stated under authority of that angel which visited me on the 25th of June, 2014. Yeah. And more I find people, you know, contacting me and asking me, Dave, at some stage you made a voice note on one of the WhatsApp groups wherein you stated such and such and such. Don't you want to tell us more about that?
Yeah.
And Father, and Pastor, I go and search it and I can't find it. And they actually sent me a copy of it.
All right, very good.
And I realized, but I was totally under the unctioning of the Holy Spirit when I spoke here.
Yes,
absolutely. This is absolutely fantastic. I was virtually prophesying when I spoke, and I realized, and I.
But you didn't know it. You were, but you didn't realize it. Yes, yeah. The Holy Spirit Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
I was merely an instrument through which the Holy Spirit had made these things known.
Okay, and one more. One more quotation from Ephesians 4:18, because we only have about 3 minutes left. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And Paul, he does not hold back in criticizing the Israelites for their unrighteousness. Okay? Mm. And nowhere does Paul ever say that the law has been done away with. He says the law is holy, just, and good. This is all false interpretation by the Judeo-Christian churches who are keeping our people blind.
Yes, Pastor. So true.
Okay, you have a couple minutes to elaborate. Yeah, because this is, but I'm gratified that you're saying that you see this blindness is being lifted. And that's what Romans 11:25 says it's going to be lifted. Okay, because our time is up.
It's up. There's something else which is so, and this is, as I say in total jest, it's so enlightening. It's so it's such joyous a message that I can share with you now. The churches in South Africa are praying for a revival. And guess what?
There's not going to
be any.
Father
Yahweh is sending out. He is pouring
out.
Yes,
we are the revival. Thank you.
outside of the churches.
Yes.
And this is absolutely fantastic. And I'm often confronted by ministers of the Judeo-Christian churches, wherein they call me a liar and a deceiver, etc. However, they only build their philosophies, their so-called spiritual philosophies, and there's no other name that I can call it, because it's not gospel and it's not truth.
Right,
and
it's ideology. Yeah,
it's an ideology, and they actually pull individual texts of the scriptures like into a silo, and they pull a scripture here and a verse here and a verse there, and now they tie these verses together and they form a whole dogma around that. And that is
exactly they strip the Bible of its context, and then they reinvent a context called dispensationalism or antinomianism, and it's false. It's absolutely false teaching.
It's absolutely
it's
false.
It's deception. Okay, we are out of time, unfortunately, so thanks for being my guest again today. Praise Yahweh, and we'll see you next time, Pastor David.
Thank you, Pastor. Have a pleasant week, and praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Pastor.